The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
We continue our bulletin. Dear brothers and sisters of our Lord Jesus Christ, on this day the Church begins a holy season of prayerful and penitential reflection. Our attention is especially directed to the holy sufferings and death of our Lord Jesus Christ. From ancient times, the season of Lent has been kept as a time of special devotion, self-denial, and humble repentance born of a faithful heart that dwells confidently on His Word and draws from it its life and hope. Let us pray that our dear Father in heaven, for the sake of His beloved Son and in the power of His Holy Spirit, might richly bless this Lenten tide for us so that we may come to Easter with glad hearts and keep the feast in sincerity and truth. O Lord,
have mercy.
O Christ,
have mercy.
O Lord,
have mercy.
O Christ,
hear us.
God the Father in heaven,
have mercy.
God the Son, Redeemer of the world,
have mercy.
God the Holy Spirit,
have mercy.
Be gracious to us.
Spare us, O Lord.
Be gracious to us.
Help us, O Lord.
By the mystery of your holy incarnation, by your holy nativity, by your baptism, fasting, and temptation, by your agony and bloody sweat, by your cross and passion, by your precious death and burial, by your glorious resurrection and ascension, and by the coming of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter,
help us, good Lord.
In all time of our tribulation, in all time of our prosperity, in the hour of death, and in the day of judgment,
help us, good Lord.
We poor sinners implore you,
hear us, O Lord,
to prosper the teaching of your word, to bless our prayer and meditation, to strengthen and preserve us in the true faith, and to give heart to our sorrow and strength to our repentance.
We implore you to hear us, O Lord,
to draw all to yourself, to bless those who are instructed in the faith, to watch over and console the poor, the sick, the distressed, the lonely, the forsaken, the abandoned, and all who stand in need of our prayer, to give abundant blessings to all works of mercy, and to have mercy on us all.
We implore you to hear us, good Lord.
To turn our hearts to you, to turn the hearts of our enemies, persecutors, and slanderers, and graciously to hear our prayers.
We implore you to hear us, good Lord.
Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God,
we implore you to hear us.
Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world,
have mercy.
Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world,
have mercy.
Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world,
grant us your peace.
O Christ,
hear us.
O Lord,
have mercy.
O Christ,
have mercy.
O Lord,
have mercy. Amen.
O God, you desire not the death of sinners, but rather that they turn from their wickedness and live. We implore you to have compassion on the frailty of our mortal nature, for we acknowledge that we are dust, and to dust we shall return. Mercifully pardon our sins, that we may obtain the promises you have laid up for those who are repentant. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. So if you desire to have the imposition of ashes, while we're singing the hymn, you can come up. Ladies, if you could move your head, move your hair to one side. And gentlemen, if your hair is in the way too, please move it. Remember, you are dust, and to dust you shall return.
Remember you were dust, with the dust you shall return. Remember you were dust, with the dust you shall return. Thank you.
Remember that next Sunday, daylight savings time starts. So your church times are going to be different. Something else I was going to say. I got to get a notebook.
Last hymn.
What's that?
The last hymn.
Oh, thank you. The last hymn in your bulletin, I put down twice. And so after the benediction, won't be any music, you're just free to leave. There'll be an offering basket at the door to put in more offerings as you leave, if you so desire. You don't have to. Please rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I will go to the altar of God.
To God I sing joy.
Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
Please be seated. Beloved in the Lord, it is our intention to receive the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he strengthens our faith by giving us his body to eat and his blood to drink. Therefore, it is proper that we diligently examine ourselves, as St. Paul urges us to do. For this holy sacrament has been instituted for the special comfort of those who are troubled because of their sin, and who humbly confess their sins, fear God's wrath, and hunger and thirst for righteousness. But when we examine our hearts and consciences, we find nothing in us but sin and death, from which we are incapable of delivering ourselves. Therefore, our Lord Jesus Christ has had mercy on us. For our benefit, he became man, so that he might fulfill for us the whole will and law of God, and to deliver us, took upon himself our sin and the punishment we deserve. So that we may more confidently believe this and be strengthened in faith and in holy living, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, broke it, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you." It is as if he said, "I became man, and all that I do and suffer is for your good. As a pledge of this, I give you my body to eat." In the same way also he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins." Again, it is as if he said, "I have had mercy on you by taking into myself all your iniquities. I give myself into death, shedding my blood to obtain grace and forgiveness of sins, and to comfort and establish the New Testament, which gives forgiveness and everlasting salvation. As a pledge of this, I give you my blood to drink. Therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup, confidently believing this word and promise of Christ, dwells in Christ, and Christ in him, and has eternal life. We should also do this in remembrance of him, showing his death, that he delivered for our offenses and raised for our justification. Giving him our most heartfelt thanks, we take up our cross and follow him. And according to his commandment, love one another as he has loved us. For we are all one bread and one body, even as we are all partakers of this one bread and drink from the one cup. For just as the one cup is filled with the wine of many grapes and one bread made from countless grains, so also we, being many, are one body in Christ. Because of him, we love one another, not only in word, but in deed and in truth. May the Almighty and merciful God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, by his Holy Spirit, accomplish this in us.
Amen.
Having heard the word of God, let us confess our sins to him, imploring him for the sake of his Son, Jesus Christ, to grant us forgiveness.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve my temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your abundance of mercy.
suffering to death. Of the Lord, blood of the Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
God be merciful to you and strengthen your faith.
Amen.
Do you believe that the forgiveness I speak is not my forgiveness, but God's?
Yes.
Let it be done for you as you believe. In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Go in peace.
Amen.
We continue speaking the liturgy on page 17. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
God, who gives far this day through the birth of your Son, Jesus Christ, grant unto your people spiritual gladness and direct all of their minds so that they are faithful into the way of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with you and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
Please be seated. The Old Testament reading for Ash Wednesday is from the 41st chapter of Isaiah. Fear not, you worm Jacob, you men of Israel. I will help you, says the Lord, and your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Behold, I will make you into a new threshing sledge with sharp teeth. You shall thresh the mountains and beat them small. And make the hills like chaff. You shall winnow them. The wind shall carry them away, and the whirlwind shall scatter them. You shall rejoice in the Lord and glory in the Holy One of Israel. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
O come,
let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for joy has set endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God.
Our epistle reading is from the 9th chapter of Hebrews, starting with the 27th verse. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise. He does not deal with us according to our sins,
nor repay us according to our iniquities.
Do not remember against us our former iniquities.
Let your compassion unceasingly be us.
Help us, O God of our salvation,
for the glory of your name.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 11th chapter. Then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her weeping, He groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and he said, Where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, See how he loved him? And some of them said, Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, Take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? This is the gospel of the Lord. Let us confess our Christian faith with the words of the Nicene Creed found on page 22 in your hymnal. I believe in one God,
the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeded from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated as we continue with hymn 329. is love without fear. Reading for this evening that the sermon's based on is from John's first letter, the fourth chapter. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this way, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. The grace, mercy, and peace of Christ Jesus rest upon each and every one of you. Amen.
Amen.
St. John informs you that God is love. And he also tells you that there is no fear in love, and that we love him because he first loved us. This is the most important statement about love. St. John writes, this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Nonetheless, we also love because he loved you first. You love him. And because he has loved you with so great a love, then you ought to love one another. Dear beloved in Christ, God is love. He always has been. He always will be. You are made from the beginning for love. Made to be loved and to love. It was not enough, though, for Adam to be loved by God and to love God in return. Nor was it enough even that he loved all of creation around him. No, Adam needed a companion. He needed someone to talk to. He needed someone to share creation and dominion with. He needed someone like him to love and whom to be loved. So God created Eve. But that was not enough either. God created them together to be fruitful. Their love was meant for procreation. Their love was begetting love. And through this blessed union, God would give children to be loved and to love who would fill the earth. Then at last, all was good. Nevertheless, it did not last. But the command and purpose was not destroyed by the fall. What the fall did was disorder it. Now love, which is still a spiritual good, is often confused, is often corrupted, or is often even demonized. The first corruption is worth. Human love now needs human value. Because of this, it can become degraded. It can become simply that which makes the so-called lover feel good, rather than a gift, affection, and concern for the beloved and his good. Friendship is another important aspect of love. Some friends you truly love. This word is cheap among you. There are others that you call friend, who you don't really respect, or who you really don't care all that much about. You call them friend simply because he amuses or he entertains you. He is pleasant and convenient. If you haven't heard from him for months, you think next to nothing of it. If he fails and falls into hard times, you might buy him a meal, but you certainly wouldn't be inviting him to come over and live with you for as long as he needs. It is much the same way with other affections. An example could be that you love puppies, but you have no sympathy for spiders. This is likely because puppies make you happy, but you find spiders rather creepy. If you love an actor on the screen, but turn away from the smelly wino on the street, is usually because the actor is pleasing to behold. And the wino reminds you of the law that you really don't want to hear. You see, pleasure in acquaintances and puppies is not wicked. But you should distinguish between seeking your own pleasure or amusement and actual love. Now, this can be difficult, because true love is supposed to be pleasant. What you meant mostly by true love is that which reflects divine love. And it is possible for human love to rise to great heights. It is not always or fully corrupted. It can be selfless at times and in part, like a mother who sacrifices her career and health for her children. So also a man who jumps up on a grenade to save his brothers. Fallen humans can even be moved in compassion to give to the needy without recognition or reward. These are good things. You rightly strive for them, and you rejoice in those moments when you glimpse or somehow participate in them, either as the benefactor or beneficiary. This is especially true for the baptized. For as God is, writes St. John, we are in this world. You love because he first loved you and has revealed this love to you and for you. But this high form of selfless love is precisely the sort of love that can enslave a man. It can be dangerous because of its height and beauty. In fallen men, even in Christians, it has a tendency to claim divine authority. It can sound to you as if it were God himself. It is so good. It is so pure. And it is so needed in this fallen world that it is hard to see how it could ever be anything but good. But believe me, it can. And here's how. God is love, as St. John says, but love is most certainly not God. The Lord your God is a jealous God. And if you let love be your God, you will find it a demon that turns you inward, a demon that makes you slaves to your passions, and a demon that destroys your faith. This love made into an idol will tell you that any action which is done for love's sake is lawful and even admirable, even if it violates God's law. and no matter how harmful it can be. Therefore, this demon, called love, can inflict you with fear and torment rather than with peace and confidence. Love is precisely the excuse you hear almost everywhere these days for every sensual perversion and violence, for all sorts of unnatural relations and every promiscuity. It is claimed that these are done for love, meaning eros or romance. But love, in any case, it is asserted that without shame that love justifies any and everything that the lover once justified. The claim is made that love simply can't ever be wrong. You are told that no one is hurt if both persons consent. This is the same wicked delusion that tells teenage girls suffering heartbreaks that they should kill themselves, or that the victims of con artists deserved it since they consented to it, or that no one needs to be warned about tobacco's cancer-causing properties. Repent. You can usually see through this when it comes upon others, but the flesh is still weak. It's much harder to discern when it comes up against your own desires and your own bank accounts, or hits someone close to you. When hearts break, fears enter in, and perspectives are tempted to change. Is this not the temptation that pulls most at Christian parents whose children have now left the faith? Do you have confidence in God's truth to acknowledge the reality of your children's confession? Or do you simply ignore it to avoid conflict and stand idly as they march straight to hell? Do you dare to tell them the truth? Or do you value their affection more than God's? Do you deny the truth for love and join them in hell? Is your temporary relationship, a false peace here upon earth, worth more to you than your eternal fate? Do you tell God how to save those who deny the faith, or must you save them for your sake? Or is his love not enough, or is it lacking some wisdom? Lord, have mercy. In the midst of your sorrows, you can think this is love, that you are driven by love for your children. And this is not love. This is slavery. This is terror and rebellion against God's holy word. There's no fear in love, but there is deep fear and deep torment here. St. John says, "He who fears has not been made perfect in love." Yes, your heartbreak over your children is neither avenged nor relieved by joining them in condemnation. It is hard, I know. But the death of Jesus Christ didn't occur to make life easier. It occurred to make it holier. So then proper Christian response to this temptation is not to love your children less. No, it is to love God more. It is to trust in him. It is to cling to his holy word. It is to pester him day and night with prayer, with praise, with thanksgiving. You are his beloved, born of him. You know him. You love him because he first loved you and has made you for himself. So then love him without shame. And love not only him, but also one another in full confidence that his love is not tainted, His love cannot be corrupted, and His love does not fail. For God is love, and He sent His only begotten Son into the world that you might live through Him, even though that means dying to all else. And this is love. Not that you love God, not that you love your children, not that you love any man, but that God loved you. He loves you. That is the important plural pronoun. God loves you and me and your children and your grandchildren, your friends, your co-workers. In fact, He loves the whole world. He loves you, all of you, each one of you, better and more than you love anyone. He loves your children more and better than you do. He is more committed to them. He is more interested in them. He is more focused upon them and concerned about them without one iota of jealousy or regret or selfishness. He sent His Son to be the propitiation for your sins. That is, again, an important plural pronoun. All of you are included. And all of your sins are propitiated. Dear saints in Christ, if God so loved you, you ought to trust His word. You ought to wait upon Him. You need not apologize for Him or be ashamed of His law any more than His love. In Him you are free, and you ought to love one another with pure love. It is this that gives you boldness, not only in the day of judgment, but also now in this life. Whatever sorrows this life may hold, however many times your heart must break, here is the defining reality: that Jesus died, that Jesus lives, that Jesus loves you and you belong to Him. He made you for love, and He has always loved you. Perfect love, that is His love, a love that casts out all your fears. Amen.
Amen.
Now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen.
Amen.
Continue with the offertory.
Thank you.
rise. Because our Lord Jesus invites us to pray to his Father who is unseen, let us come to his throne of grace pleading, have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Merciful God, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, cleanse and renew our hearts from the stain of sin. Bring us to genuine repentance. Pardon all our sins and renew our faith, that we may have a clear conscience. Grant us the aid of your Holy Spirit to manifest the holiness of life which befits our calling through holy baptism. By faith, let us show forth the good works of Christ who called us from darkness into his marvelous light. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Save and defend your church from the enemies of your word. Give us faithful pastors and teachers who will gather your sheep with your voice. Feed them your blessed sacrament and lead us into your everlasting presence. Teach us the love of your name and the desire for what is good and right, that we would renounce all false religion and love you with all our heart, mind, body, and strength. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, you blot all transgressions and wash away iniquity. Sustain the families of your church, that husbands, wives, and children would be cleansed from their sins and live together in peace. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Guard those in authority over us, especially our president and Congress, that our laws would be just and justly applied for the punishment of the evildoer and for the pursuit of virtue. Where our laws are unjust or contrary to your word, in your mercy make right the wrong, that we may act in good conscience as citizens of this land. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Comfort those in distress. Grant healing to the sick, peace to the troubled, and your presence to the dying, especially those who are now named before you in our hearts. Bring us through trouble and trial by your grace, that we may sing anew your wondrous love and mercy. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Remember in mercy all who come today to receive the Savior's true body and blood, that this sacrament may turn our hearts in repentance, strengthen our faith, and embolden us to love and serve our neighbor. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Hear our petitions, Heavenly Father, for we pray in your Holy Spirit, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
This time we will greet one another with the peace of the Lord. Continue on page 24 with the service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, who on the tree of the cross didst give salvation unto mankind, that whence death arose, thence life also might rise again, and that he who by a tree once overcame might likewise by a tree be overcome. Through Christ our Lord, through whom all the angels and archangels with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you, thee and saying, Holy,
holy, holy, Lord God of Sabaoth, heaven and earth are full of thy glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest.
And praying the prayer that our Lord Jesus has taught us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it all, drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
O Christ,
the Lamb of God, that takes away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. O Christ, the Lamb of God, that takes away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. O Christ, the Lamb of God, that takes away the sin of the world, grant us thy peace. Amen.
Take, eat, this is the true body of Christ, given into death for your sin. Take, eat, the true body of Christ, given into death for your sin. Take, drink, true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Take, drink, true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink, true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink, true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins.
Now this true body and blood of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve your body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Serve the Lord.
Amen.
Christ, given into death for your sin. Take, eat, the true body of Christ, given into death for your sin. Take, drink, the true blood. for remission of all your sins. Take, drink, true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink, true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink, true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink, true blood of Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. For this true body and blood of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen to preserve your body and soul to make your life. Body and soul, serve the Lord. Shed for the remission of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ. Shed for the remission of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ. Shed for the remission of all your sins. Body and blood of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve your body and soul to life everlasting. Heart of peace, serve the Lord.
Amen.
Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve your body and soul to life everlasting. Our peace, serve the Lord.
Which hath of mercy seat of God, forever God, for sinners plead, for me, for
Jesus, shall be mine.
Unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.
Amen. Amen. Amen.